Welcome to MerlinCast, episode 15. This week, we are covering The Beauty and the Beast, part 1. That is an episode from season 2, and I believe it is episode 5. Currently, it is me, Andrew, and Courtney. Sarah is still on vacation. She should be back next week. We've got exciting news for next week, and all sorts of great things to happen in this show. My name's Aaron Millard.
My name's Courtney Catadella.
My name's Andrew Brief.
Okay. To start out the news today, we have a big update. There is now open registration for the new Merlin game that will be going on Facebook. You can go to the website www.merlingame.com. Pretty simple name there. If you look at the website, there's a sign up. What you do is you sign up with your Facebook, and then you are put in for the beta testing of the Merlin game. So basically, you're going to be in a select group of people that will get to try out the game before it's actually fully released to the public. After seeing the video, I'm actually kind of excited for this game, and I think for sure all four of us on MerlinCast will be sure to sign up for this beta testing so we can try it out and review it on the show. So we'll all be sure to do that, and I hope all of you will as well so we can play with some of you guys. But I think it's going to be a good opportunity to really live the Merlin series, because the game looks like it really tries to follow things involving the actual TV show. So you guys are going to subscribe or sign up, right?
Yes, I'm going to try. I've never done anything like that before, but I guess there's a first time for everything, right?
That's right. Merlin's opening up new windows for you.
Truth.
And Andrew, I'm sure you'll try it out too. Me and you can go hang out and play together.
I don't know. This seems a little sketchy. I don't have to sign anything, do I?
No, you just got to use your Facebook sign-up.
For testing or...
You just got to use your Facebook sign-up.
Nothing medical or dental?
No, it's not medical.
Oh, that kind of testing. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, gotcha. Never mind.
No problem. Okay, and even...
Totally think of something else.
And even bigger news this week, the Merlin Series 5 trailer was released, the very first one. Now, this is big because earlier BBC announced that the new Doctor Who trailer and Merlin trailer would premiere on Friday of the week that we're recording right now, and it's Monday, so in 4 more days. But it came out early, which was very unexpected. If you haven't checked out the trailer, you can go to our Twitter and we have the trailer posted on there. It's in one of our more recent tweets, and we've all checked out the trailer, and it looks like a ton of people already have on YouTube. So I was personally really happy with it. It wasn't very long and it didn't really spoil anything, so it was nice to see a trailer come out, and it got me a lot more excited for this coming season. Courtney, what were your thoughts?
I liked the music. I thought that it was surprising, a surprising choice. I thought it made it seem a lot more modern, more like a modern show, I don't know. Guy's hair was, like, very questionable, but other than that, I really liked it. There's a part where it's snowy in the background, so that should be interesting, because I can't really remember too much snow in Camelot. That's probably not true. I'm probably just not paying attention, but I don't know. I think that is going to be cool. Literally. Sorry. Okay.
Andrew, what were your thoughts?
I like the music. It kind of caught me off guard, but hey, that was pretty cool. Let's see what else. I didn't pay too much attention besides that, but I liked it, so. No, but I think it was short to the point, and like you said, it didn't spoil anything per se. Like, you saw Uther for a brief moment, like, but we already knew he was going to be back in there some way, somehow. Saw Arthur a couple times. Again, you saw Gawain and the wolf. You saw dangerous chandeliers, I guess, which will be known for their hazardousness in this new series, I guess. I don't know. But, I think you saw the old man, Emrys, at one point.
Yes, you did.
Right? I think I remember him. And, Gaius is rocking the Gandalf look, hair wise. Yeah, should be interesting.
I don't know if he's rocking it. I think, but
His hair was certainly a little different. Let's say the thing that that caught my eye was the round table, which looked really awesome. And it actually was a lot bigger than I thought it would be. There was at least, I'd say, 20 people at that table. Yeah. Most of them were knights.
No, definitely more than, well, at least, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, and I think that's, I know a lot way earlier in this show we had the discussion of whether or not Merlin should end after four or five seasons. But I mean, like, you know, you take all those different knights with all their different backgrounds, all their different stories and such, and I mean, you could fill up so many more shows,
right?
And, you know, with their legends and how they intertwine and all that. So I mean, just I think it's going to be a whole bunch of new characters, and I'm just really pumped for it.
Yeah. The other thing is that I noticed, at least with that round table scene, is there's one open seat. And if you look, I was looking for Merlin at the table. You can see Gaius and some of the other main knights, but Merlin is standing off to the side, which I hope that's not the actual case. I hope that maybe he was just doing something in that scene, because if you remember when they first introduced the round table, Merlin was at the round table. So I hope that Arthur is including him, and that scene isn't actually true. So we'll see what happens with that.
Or maybe that seat happens to be Merlin's, and he's just not.
Right, that's what I'm hoping. He was standing off to the side, so I don't know what the deal was in that scene.
Yeah.
But I guess we'll have to find out. You did see the Calyx in this trailer, and I know that she was a pretty interesting character. She forced them to sacrifice Lancelot in the last season, so I'm sure something crazy will happen with her. And there were a couple other, you know, you saw the dragon's back. And then there's tons of action scenes, which were to be expected.
Yeah.
Lots of sword fighting, and I'm sure the sword play will be a lot better. It gets better every season, so I'm looking forward to that. But
I hope there's more, like, armor and jousting and stuff, too.
Yeah, that would be cool to have more tournaments.
I'd like to see a little bit more of the classic medieval stuff.
I hate the jousting episodes so much. I just hate them. Oh, God.
Are you serious?
I hate the jousting episodes.
Really?
I just hate them so much. Well, I think they're so boring. Like, Arthur's gonna win. Like, I don't know.
Do you like the tournaments? Any of them? Or just...
I mean, there have been a couple interesting episodes, but...
What about, like, the sword fighting tournament?
They're okay, but, like, I don't know. You already know how they end.
Right.
It's like,
but
I like
I think
sneakier
it's an
opponents.
Part of...
It's important, because obviously it's, like, knighthood, but I don't know,
it's medieval history.
I don't find them very interesting.
Well, I guess we're all entitled
Downer.
To our own opinion. So.
Yes.
It's a good thing you were on last
That's
week,
because
right. we covered one of the most jousting-packed episodes there is.
Yep.
And
which
in
also
one other...
happened to be one of the most romance-packed episodes.
Yes, which we did trip and fall on, but we did catch later on, so...
we caught ourselves.
Okay, one other thing I have is a little bit more about the movie trilogy. It's still in the talks, and since Sarah isn't on this week, she had a couple comments about the movie trilogy that she wanted me to read. So I'll read a couple of them. These are her thoughts on what the trilogy should be like. She's a little worried, which I think a lot of people are, because a lot of people don't want to see new actors, or they're hoping they'll just recast everyone, but you never know with a movie, so... One of her points, or what she says, is the trilogy should be a continuation of the last season and not a retelling of the first season. We already know many things about Merlin and Arthur. We don't necessarily need more. A reboot of the series would be counterproductive and a little annoying. Of course, we as fans might love to see more of the older characters now deceased, such as Uther, Morgana, Nimue, etc. But if you really think about it, how annoying would it be to have to deal with Uther all over again?
Uh-huh. Okay.
Well, I think we're going to have to deal with Uther anyway, so.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I really kind of agree with her as far as I don't want to see a whole recasting of the first few seasons. I mean, we've watched them. We know what happens. They were great. Why make them over again? But even worse than that, I hope to God that if they do anything like that, that they don't recast all the characters. Because, I mean, for me, that would just kill it. Because, I mean, I think the characters they have right now, the actors, have done a terrific job throughout these four seasons, and the fifth season only looks better. So, I mean, and I don't see why on earth you'd recast them.
Right. Four, focus the movie trilogy on an actual plot that will continue throughout all three movies. This one only works, however, if the movies are completely separate from the TV series and not like the Sherlock format I previously stated. If they were to make a standalone trilogy, they should make it similar to The Lord of the Rings, making one continuous story that will leave the audience hungry for more. Imagine knowing these epic battle moments and cliffhangers Lord of the Rings has with Merlin. One word, epic. Okay. So yeah, there's a couple points about the movie that potentially could be coming out. They haven't confirmed it. They're in the talks right now, so it'll be interesting to see what happens with that, but anyway.
It's a big gamble, I think.
It is.
I mean, no matter how good your trilogy is, it'll never be like Star Wars level, because I mean, Star Wars is better than everything.
But no.
I think it could potentially, you know, be pretty awesome. You never know.
Okay.
There's a lot of possibilities.
And on a news story we covered last week, or in the week before, about Uther coming back in the next season, on Twitter we asked listeners how they thought Uther would come back in season 5. The first tweet is from Lily Merlockian, and she says, "Morgana will try to bring him back to torture him further." I think that's a fairly valid idea. Something more, or it's probably something Morgana might try out. So yeah, it's possible.
It's possible.
Courtney, you wanna read the next one? This one's pretty good.
A.D. Marrow said, "Uther is Arthur's bane. He comes back. They all reunite and do the safety dance around Camelot. Seriously, he's Arthur's bane." What does that mean?
It was talked about.
I know at
Comic-Con.
I know at the Fire Hall we do safety dances all the time, but I'm not exactly sure what this person's referring to.
I don't know if you've ever seen, or you've probably heard the song Safety Dance. The video for the song Safety Dance is Medieval. You'll have to watch that after this. But Arthur's Bane was talked about at Comic-Con, and it was in the trailer.
I might remember.
In the trailer for Merlin, there was a scene where, we don't know who the person is, but they warned Merlin of Arthur's Bane and that it will be the downfall of Arthur. So this theory, and maybe they actually read into Arthurian legend and it's true, but Arthur's Bane being Uther could be very valid, because I feel like Uther being alive while Arthur's king is not a good thing, so we'll see. Andrew, you want to read the next one?
Yes. Wait, were we doing names?
The one that's on there.
At Senjobek.
Wait, what? At Senjobek. I hope I'm pronouncing that right. I think he will return in some kind of a dream. And I mean, I know that's very broad, but I think that has a lot of validity. Excuse me. Because you saw the points at which it looked like he was talking to Merlin. You know, you don't know whether or not that's actually real and happening, or very well could be in a dream, in one of Merlin's dreams, or Arthur could dream about it. I mean, you never know. I mean, that could be a way he could come back, besides the other possibilities. So, I mean, definitely a valid point.
I agree with that. I'm kind of more partial to the dream idea, too. Yeah.
I don't think that'll be how it is. I think a dream would be too, like...
I mean, if I had to guess, I'd say probably not, but that's not a bad argument.
Right, yeah, it's fairly valid. Okay, KT Kirsty says, "My little bro's theory, evil by magic, and Arthur will have to kill him, or Merlin. Mine, I think he will help Arthur somehow." I think it is possible that Arthur and Merlin will have to kill him. I think that's very possible. So that part of the theory, I think, is possible. As far as him helping Arthur, that could also be possible, because they did say that when Arthur's in need of advice, Uther will be there for him. So maybe both of those points are something that could happen. You never know. Courtney, you want to read the next one?
Yeah, the last tweet about this is from Sarah Forhart. And she said, "Guess no one stays dead long on Merlin. Dot, dot, dot. It's true.
Except Lancelot, unfortunately."
Well, don't worry. There's a
and they did say, in. Andrew, I forgot to tell you, they did say that Santiago Cabrera is not coming back to act in Series 5.
Oh, sorry. Now I'm very depressed.
But yeah.
I'm not sure if I can finish the show, guys.
It's okay. Maybe next season. It'll be even more epic if he comes back the season after.
Yeah.
But okay. Next we're gonna do our review of the Beauty and the Beast Part 1, which is an incredibly gross episode.
Ugh.
I forgot how disgusting some of the stuff was in this episode. Okay. Alright, Andrew's gonna start it out for us.
Yeah, okay. This episode happens to be Beauty and the Beast Part 1 from Season 2. And the opening scene, it's definitely not anywhere in Camelot. We see just kind of a cave on the side of a mountain. And inside the cave, and obviously, you know, you have the ominous music and all that stuff. And inside the cave, we see a creature. We learned his name is Jonas later on. But he's...
Jonas.
He looks a lot like a human being. I know. He's one of the Jonas Brothers.
Who?
The one that they didn't talk about. But, anyway. But, so we see him brewing a potion. He's doing some sort of incantation, so we can probably assume he has magic. And, then we look over and see this very large, ugly troll. And, Jonas gives the troll this potion that he's just made, and it turns her into what we see, the lovely Lady Katrina, who, as we'll mention later on, is played by the actress Sarah Parrish. And so we see later on Jonas and the troll, a.k.a. Lady Katrina, they're riding on their horses into Camelot. And, they come in and meet Gaius and Merlin, and at first, Gaius and Merlin are both of the belief that this is indeed Lady Katrina, whose land, her kingdom, and her husband have all been killed by invaders. And, let me see. Okay, and they end up making their way into Uther's palace, and Uther takes them in, under the assumption also that that's Lady Katrina. And he's immediately taken in by her beauty and her plight and, you know, all that stuff. And they actually, later on, they have dinner. It's Uther, Morgana, Arthur, and Lady Katrina. And you see Arthur kind of right off the bat, he's just kind of looking a little weird at his father's, you know, back and forth with Lady Katrina. They're obviously flirting. And, What? I know, right? Courtney, you're loving this, aren't you?
Obviously.
Anyway.
It's romance at its finest.
Oh, hell yeah. That's, yep, man and troll. What could be better? Anyway, so we see, after dinner, Arthur and Morgana have to take their leave, and so they're left alone for a while to talk more. And following their dinner later on, we go to Merlin's room, old Gaius and Merlin's apartment, and Gaius prepares this special potion and tells Merlin, "Give this to the Lady Katrina, you know, she'll know what it is." And Merlin's asking, "Oh, what is it and Gaius doesn't want to tell him, so Merlin, and we see what later on why he doesn't, but so Merlin brings it and kind of walks in on a little unsightly, because the troll has been eating rotten food, and she kind of plays it off, but I mean, I don't know, I'd be a little more suspicious. But anyway, so Merlin offers the potion, but Jonas and Lady Katrina don't, they have no idea what it is, and they're like, you know, we didn't order anything, you know, she's in perfectly good health, etc. And so Merlin brings it back to Gaius, and Gaius, we learn at that time that it's kind of a test, because we learn that Gaius had to treat the real Lady Katrina back when she was young for, I think it was a rare bone disease.
Yes, it was incurable.
And, it was supposedly, yes, exactly, it was incurable. So maybe it was good bone cancer, I don't know. But, so Gaius is thinking, oh, that's really weird. And Gaius, from the beginning, has seemed a little skeptical about the whole miraculous survival story of Katrina, her servant, and, you know, how she conveniently has gotten here and immediately started, you know, hitting it off with Uther. And so Merlin, we see him go to clean Katrina's room. Obviously, Gaius sent him there, you know, just to kind of see what he can find. But Merlin's looking around, and you know, something smells really weird and bad, you can tell. And he's looking around the bed sheets, and then suddenly Jonas just startles the crap out of him. And, you know, Merlin just makes up an excuse, you know, I was changing the bed sheets, etc. And, you know, so Jonas kind of accepts it, but you can tell he's a little, you know, suspicious of Merlin. And as he turns around, Merlin sees a long green tail slipping out of his coat, and you'd think with all the precautions they had to take, you'd think they would have concealed Jonas's tail a little bit better.
I have to say, when Merlin was looking around the bed, Jonas scared the crap out of him.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And Jonas has, like, Jonas, even when he's, like, pretending to be just a servant, he still has that demeanor, like that look on his face, like, oh, the I want to kill you.
He reminds me of Filch from Harry Potter. Filch? The groundskeeper? Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. They kind of
I'm
look
not
similar.
Too up on Harry Potter.
That's right.
But, where was I?
They go on a picnic.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right.
Well, first, Merlin tells Gaius about the tail, I think, but. I didn't put that
yeah, in. He tells him about that, and Gaius believes him right off the bat. Usually Gaius is kind of skeptical about that stuff, but Gaius immediately, like believes him. And he's really suspicious. And then the next scene, we have Uther and Katrina, a.k.a. the troll, go riding and end up going on a picnic. And the part that really kind of cracks me up is while they're talking, the troll, Katrina, kind of throws her food away. But Uther's not looking with her plate. And it might, I mean, how Uther doesn't notice, I don't know, because it splashes all over the river. But yeah. I just thought it was kind of humorous in the way she got to look away and just, it's gone.
I love how she has to rot all of her food in order to eat it, which is even more gross.
Yeah, yeah that's so disgusting.
She's a very repulsing
and then it
character.
Zooms in, you got all the worms all over it. And yeah, okay. But anyway, so. Gaius later on attempts, he catches Uther alone in the hallway. He's like, oh, it's really, he kind of goes about it. You can tell right away what he's trying to do, but he kind of goes about, he kind of, you know, gradually gets to it. He's like, oh, it's really, you look really happy. Huh, you and Katrina have really hit it off, haven't you? And by the way, she's a troll. And yeah. This is pretty much what he says. And so Uther, he's taken aback, and he's like, and you know, obviously, you know, he tells Gaius, oh, it's ridiculous, you know, not true, blah blah blah. But as Gaius mentions, like, you know, Uther might, his initial reaction might be one of disbelief at whatever Gaius says, but he always dwells on it later, especially as we see in this episode. So I think that's kind of the relationship Gaius has with Uther as Merlin has with Arthur. You know, they suggest something to him. And they're like, oh, are you kidding me? That's ridiculous. You're stupid, blah, blah, blah. I'm just, you know, that's the Pendragons for you. But, anyway, Uther's alone again with Katrina later on, and they're taught, and, you know, they're having a nice little romantic fireplace scene. And Uther mentions that what Gaius said about her disease, and Katrina's like, oh, I'm cured. It's a miracle. And Uther's like, oh, yeah, it must be a miracle. But you can tell it still kind of bothers him. And then Katrina starts kind of, like, pushing the issue away from that and towards their romance, obviously, because that's where the troll wants it to go, so she can marry Uther and take all his money, blah, blah, blah. And then she tries, they try kissing, and it was like, no, no, wait, wait, wait. And, you know, so that was just kind of a awkward moment for him, but you could tell, like, the troll or Katrina inside is like, damn it. So, but yeah, so we go from there.
I mean, Courtney? She's really, really super seductive for something that's so revolting. Okay, so after this failed attempt at a kiss, which is always awkward, Merlin...
Oh, so awkward.
It's so painfully awkward. Merlin is in Arthur's room while Arthur is sleeping, being a creep, and he's, like, levitating Arthur's mirror, out of the window so that he can see Katrina in her room below, to see, like, what form she's taking. And she's in the form of the troll, and she is just hideous. She looks like a cross between, like, a boar and a wildebeest and, like, a really, really wrinkled elephant. Ew, she's so gross.
And, you know, one of those creatures from Jabba the Hutt's palace, you know those things with the pig faces?
Yes.
Yes, it reminds me of one of those. I just
it also reminds
of
me of a Muppet. Cow, that's amazing. I don't know why.
Like, which
one? A weird one that
I know
looks
what you're talking about.
Like a troll. But Arthur wakes up while Merlin is peeping out the window, and Arthur kind of thinks he's being a peeping Tom, which he is, but in an innocent way. So he kind of just messes with Merlin about that, which was funny, but... After this, Merlin follows Katrina to where she sleeps and finds her passed out, farting in her sleep, being a nasty nast down in the garbage under Camelot. Ew, it's so gross. Not very ladylike. Okay, so after this is another scene between Gaius and Uther when Gaius tells Uther Katrina's a troll. He basically is just like, Katrina's a troll, and Uther's like, bite your tongue, you old man, kind of. I don't know, Uther's like pretty offended by it. I would be too if someone said that the guy that I was in love with was a troll. I'd be like, shut up! But she actually is a troll. So Jonas and the troll create an amulet after this to make Uther, kind of blindly love and listen to Katrina, because he had hesitated, and so I think that Katrina probably was like, oh, this isn't gonna be that easy. So they make an amulet, and at dinner, Katrina gives Uther the amulet, and boom, love struck. Love struck. Oh, Aaron, your notes. Okay. Okay, so after this, Merlin and Gaius decide that they need to use magic in order to intercept this relationship and make this marriage not happen so that Uther can see Katrina as she really is. Because they're very, very concerned for the future of the kingdom, because trolls are supposed to be very, very greedy. So, after this, Katrina is at dinner with Uther, and she's trying, and she's, like, convincing him to get married. And, she's not at dinner, she's just there, she just convinces him, she basically says, we're getting married, and he makes the announcement. And then she tells him they're getting married tomorrow. And that... Tomorrow.
I like the excuse she uses to convince him to share the kingdom with her. Oh, let me share the burden with you.
I know. She's such a seductress. Oh my goodness.
I know.
Ew, but she's so gross. Okay. It's what's on the inside that matters, boys, not the outside. Lessons from Merlin. Okay.
Look through all those warts.
So, I know. So after this, Merlin does some magic in the royal courtroom to attempt to change Katrina back to her original form. And Jonas sees him doing magic and kind of discovers what he really is. But, you know, she doesn't change all the way, so she's not outed as a troll yet. So Merlin is kind of like, I'm gonna go talk to Arthur. He goes and tells Arthur, dude, your future stepmom's a troll. And Arthur's like, she's really not that bad, Merlin. I appreciate that you're being a good friend and trying to be sympathetic about this, but she is the future queen and she makes my daddy happy and we just have to accept it. So I don't know. I think that Arthur handles this in a very mature way. But I don't know, he's just being blind again. But so Arthur does not believe Merlin. After this, Jonas is heard by Merlin crying in the corridor, and he says that he's enslaved by Katrina. I don't know, Jonas really isn't that good of an actor, so Merlin's pretty gullible, but it's fine. Jonas tells Merlin to go down to where the troll sleeps at night and take her potions because then she won't be able to change into her beautiful Katrina form. Merlin goes down, falls into the trap, gets, you know, bamboozled by this whole situation, and is magicked by the troll into a rock slide, and he gets stuck down in the catacombs of Camelot as the wedding is going on. Merlin finally breaks free. I don't know. Merlin's supposed to have more magic than that, but it's fine. So he finally breaks free, and Merlin runs up while this wedding is going on, and Jonas is there again, this stupid Jonas creature. He makes me so mad, but he's waiting there to keep Merlin away from the wedding. But it's too bad because Uther and Katrina are already married, so it's
Dun,
done.
dun,
Dot 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 dot
dun.
dot.
You know, finally, Merlin takes someone out with not just the throwback spell, but with a jar to boot. So, I mean, that's nice and different.
What will happen next? Now that we're on that subject, just to let you know, we won't be covering the second half of that episode next week, because we have a very special surprise for you all. We've been in the talks, and we were able to get David Griffin from ThinkHeroTV.com. He was at Comic-Con, and he was part of the press, so he actually got to interview Colin Morgan, Katie McGrath, and Thomas Murphy. Actually, he got to interview Angel as well. And wait, it's not Thomas Murphy, is it? What's his name?
Aaron,
We have a
we know it's
friend.
Thomas
We have a
Murphy
friend named
personally.
Thomas Murphy. Do you remember what his name is? The producer?
No.
Anyone?
Nope. Didn't do my homework.
Julian
Producer.
Murphy.
Julian. Okay. And he also interviews Julian Murphy. And so he had the opportunity to meet them, interview them. He was at the panel, and you know, he actually got the opportunity to do a lot of things that most people don't get to do. He since he works for Think Hero TV, he also covers a lot of other sci-fi and fantasy series. So we're gonna have him on next week, and we're gonna do an interview with him and find out just exactly what he learned and what he, excuse me, thought of the actors and actresses as he got to meet them personally. So that's very exciting. I'm sure we'll get some great information, and we're very much looking forward to that. So that's going to be what our episode is next week. Be sure to listen in on that one. Moving on, we are going to do a segment this week. We've been going over on time the last few weeks, so we haven't had a chance to do one, but we're going to try something new. We're going to do a segment called Scripted Magic. What we've done is gotten a hold of the transcript for this episode of Merlin, The Beauty and the Beast, and we are going to do our best to do a little acting.
Aaron, before we begin, I think you would make a much better Katrina than I would.
I don't
You
think so.
know, I'm not.
Wait,
My acting's not
Aaron,
too
we
up to
forgot to do
par.
ratings.
What?
Oh.
Oh, man. Okay.
Rewind. Thoughts on this episode. I will say that I enjoyed this episode for the entertainment value. Again, it's not really an episode that has a huge...
It's critical.
Yeah, there's no really, like, major effect on the plot of Merlin in general, but, you know, that is a threat to the throne. But I thought it was a really funny episode. It was also really gross, too, and they did a great, great job of costume design and everything for the troll. I mean, she looked absolutely disgusting, and I did a great job with that. And the rotted fruit that she was eating, I'm not sure what they actually had her eat, but it must have been pretty gross. And I'd give this probably a rating of like an 8.5, just because, you know, it was funny, but it wasn't like anything huge. And I think the best actor or actress in this one was definitely the girl that plays Katrina. And Andrew, would you say her name was?
Sarah Parrish, it was.
Sarah Parrish. She did an excellent job having to go from troll to female, and she, when she like was still
the, and sometimes at the same time,
yeah, when she was Katrina, you know, like when she'd walk into a room after acting out with Uther and she would like hunch over and go into like troll mode, it was so funny to see her like that. She did such a great job with that. Courtney, what were your thoughts?
Yeah,
I don't know, I'm not a huge fan of this episode. It's okay. I would give it maybe a 7. I also thought that Sarah Parrish was just fantastic as she portrayed the troll. Just, like, she just committed to the facial expressions and just, like, the overall nastiness, even though she's, like, such a poised and pretty actress. I don't know. It's just one of those episodes where it just doesn't have any... It doesn't have anything to do with the rest of the season. Like, do they ever bring it up again that, like, Camelot was taken over by a troll queen? Like, is that ever mentioned, or is that just some, like, big, dark secret? I don't know.
Big, dark secret.
Yeah, they just don't talk about it. They just never mention it again. Like, oh, hey, Arthur, remember your, like, long-lost troll stepmother who's dead? But...
Andrew?
I'm gonna say, like, I kind of agree with Courtney that just this just kind of felt like a filler episode type thing. But I think with the overall plot and stuff, it was actually really clever. So I think I'm gonna give it a 8 overall for a rating. And favorite actor, actress, definitely Sarah Parrish. I mean, like you said, with the facial expressions, Aaron, those, and, you know, just the overall... you know, just parts of portraying the troll. I mean, you could definitely tell she was definitely committed to the part. And, you know, just going right from, you know, upright, outstanding, you know, princess to, oh, I'm sorry, queen to, you know, just a sloppy, disgusting troll. I mean, that was really, you know, definitely some quality acting there. So, yeah, those are my thoughts.
Absolutely. So there's our thoughts on an episode. Sorry we forgot about that. Anyway, what we're going to do is do a scene from the episode. And we haven't quite decided on parts yet because we're all kind of debating on what we want to do. So what I'm going to do is think of a number between 1 and 10. And you two are going to guess. And then whoever gets it first gets to...
What do you have to do?
Huh? I'll just do the narrating.
You're in this drawing too there, bud. What, you're doing narrating?
Yeah, I'm just doing the scene part. Introduction, and will fill in with the small parts that take place. There's like a one talk from Arthur and one from Morgana. So.
Okay. No favoritism here. You got
I got a number in my head right now, so ladies first, I'll let Courtney guess.
Good. 6.
1 through 10. That was 5. Actually exactly what it was, 6.
Oh, I'm my not, gosh.
Andrew, I'm not even joking.
That's definite favoritism.
Andrew, I swear to you, I had it written down right here. I can't believe you. How'd you get that?
I'm lucky.
Courtney, you get your pick. What is Andrew playing and what are you playing?
Andrew can play Katrina, the troll.
Alrighty.
And I'll play Uther.
Trolling is what I do best.
Alright, now keep in mind, if you're playing these parts, you need to use proper voices, so...
Exactly.
I'll introduce this. We tune into dinner in the council chambers where Uther, Morgana, Arthur, and the Lady Katrina are sitting down for a nice feast.
Oh, that's me. Well, this is wonderful. Thank you.
It's an honor. The houses of Tregor and Pendragon have been allies for as well as long as anyone can remember.
My father often spoke of you, my lord.
And I will remember him always.
I'm sorry, I didn't get the chance to meet him.
I'm sorry, too, for the House of Tregor is no more.
Well, no, Katrina, he lives on in you.
I only wish that were true.
It is, my lady, your courage, your modesty. You are as you always were, ever since you were a child.
Ah, I fear I am much changed since then, my lord.
Oh, yes, it is true. You are far more beautiful now.
I'm sorry, hard day's training.
That was terrible. Try it again.
I'm sorry, hard day's training, if you'll excuse me.
Of course. Oh, I'm sorry, of course. Alright. Of course.
Arthur?
I should retreat.
Sorry.
I should retire myself.
Morgana and oh. Arthur leave.
Morgana, oh. Can I get you anything else? You've hardly touched your food.
I'm sorry. I find I have little appetite ever since that day.
I wish I'd been there for you.
Oh, but you're helping me now. Your kindness, your companionship. I must also bid you good night, my lord. It's been a long day.
Of course. Good night, my lady.
Oh, dear.
The end.
End scene.
Oh, well done. Who would have known we had such a great actor?
I know.
So talented.
I know.
That was actually pretty funny. We'll have to do a longer scene next time. Well done, everyone. I also asked on Twitter what people's favorite quotes were from Merlin in general. At Libby Slinkard said, "Shut up, Merlin," which I believe Arthur says quite often to Merlin. Andrew, next one.
Oh, yes. Now, the Merlin in the beginning is not part of the
correct
quote, is it?
Because I don't think Arthur would
okay
be saying...
Okay, so we have... Merlin's dream, yeah. At Clotpole77, he says, from Merlin, "I'm happy to be your servant till the day I die."
It's a great line.
And, yeah, loyalty. Very nice line.
At Elaine Santiago, I'm so sorry if I'm butchering that. Fave line. Merlin says, "I knew you were an oss, just not a royal one." Using his accent, of course. Oh, Colin
Arse.
Morgan and his accent.
Not...
Ugh,
oh, yeah.
Love.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Barbara, 639-39197, says, "In a land of myth and a time of magic, the destiny of a great kingdom rests on the shoulders of a young man. His name... Merlin." She didn't add that part.
You notice, not boy,
yeah,
man.
That's right.
Man.
She prefers the new version. Okay. Great choice, Barbara. Great choice. Andrew, the last one?
We have at Nick27537527. Holy cow, that's a lot.
That's a lot of Nicks.
"Your first battle wound."
I believe
I'm
that
not
was
exactly
Arthur that
sure
said that
who's
to Merlin.
That?
Yeah.
I can't remember when it
about
happened. About
what?
But... It's
probably over something stupid, though, right? Like,
yeah.
Something small.
End of the world. All right, episodes.
So Arthur teasing Merlin. That's always funny. Yep.
Okay. So,
yeah.
If anyone has any comments, questions, anything about Merlin, and they want to have their thoughts read on the episode, they can either tweet at us, which we actually use the tweets quite often, as you can see, and we've had a lot of different people have the opportunity to have their voices heard. Or you can send us an email. Not a lot of people send us emails, but... themerlincast@gmail.com will get you an email directly to us, and we will be sure to answer you and possibly read your comments on the show. One other thing I have to talk about is this week we had a new album cover made for our show. I pasted it in the notes right there. Can you guys see that?
Yeah.
Oh, yep.
Actually, my cousin, she's in graphic arts in college. I had her make one for us. What are your guys' thoughts on that? It's pretty sick, isn't it?
Nice job.
I'm a fan.
Very nice.
I like it.
Yeah, she did that all. Yeah,
I'll take it.
She did all that herself. Because
I thought that was actually like a Merlin, official Merlin sign or something until I saw the cast at the end. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I mean, that very professional. I like it.
Yeah, her name is Mackenzie. Thank you, Mackenzie, for making that for us. And
yes, thank you very much.
I'm very happy with it. I'm going to put it on iTunes soon, so it's the new album cover. It's already on Twitter all over the place, so... Yes, thanks a lot for that. Be sure to check it out, guys. I'm sure you'll like it. It's got the Sword in the Stone, Merlin in the background, and it says Merlin Cast in a Merlin-type font. So, thank you very much again.
Very original. Yeah.
In closing, if you would like to get a hold of us, there are many ways of going about that. You can visit our Facebook by searching Merlin Cast in the search bar on Facebook, and like us on there, and we're always on there. You can get a hold of us on there. You can always follow us on Twitter. Twitter seems to be our most popular avenue right now. We are just about to break 900 followers, which is awesome. And I think by the end of the summer, we should be at least 1,000. So thank you, everyone, for following us. We've had great fan response on there. We got to meet so many people. Andrew, go ahead.
And if you are super, super desperate, if you are ever in the village of Carthage in the county of Jefferson in the state of New York, you can always dial 911 and say fire. No, I was only going to say you can always dial 911 and say fire, and I'll be there.
Whoa.
Apart from the crazy ways of getting hold of us, you can email us, like I said before, themerlincast@gmail.com. You can ask us anything, and we will be sure to answer, or you can just make a comment. That's fine, too. Also, visit our website, merlincast.blogspot.com. That has all our episodes up for download. You can get to our RSS feed from there, and you can also get to our Twitter from there. And it's a great way to get connected. And the biggest thing you can do is go to iTunes, search for us, Merlin Cast. We'll come up immediately. You search Merlin under podcast, Merlin shows up. Merlin Cast, I mean. It's everywhere on iTunes. It's really easy to find. You can subscribe to us on there. Please subscribe to us on there. And please, please, please rate and review us. We love to see new feedback on iTunes, and it gives people a great way to know what the show's about and to use that as a reference when they are deciding whether or not to subscribe to the podcast.
If it's a good rating, though.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm just kidding. You can say whatever you want, but I'm thinking it'll probably be a good rating, or I hope at least. Just a reminder, next week we will have David Griffin on from Think Hero TV, and it should be a great episode. Oh, okay. So, yeah, be sure to listen in on our interview next week. We're very excited, and I think we'll get some great Merlin info. I think that's about it. The following week, we'll cover the Beauty and the Beast Part 2, and then from there, we'll take some more fan requests on some other episodes we should cover. 62 days until the next season of Merlin premieres. I saw that on Twitter today. Someone posted that on Twitter, so I used that as a reference. I can't remember who you were, but thank you for reminding me. I'm Aaron Millard.
I'm Courtney Catadella.
And I'm Andrew Briggs.
Thanks again, everyone.
Bye.
Goodbye.